Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Batra Daf Pei Ches. We will begin on Daf Pei Ches of an Aleph, 8 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, in the Gemara's attempt in trying to explain the Machloikus in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara quoted a rule that Shmuel taught us. And even though, as we learned in our previous shiur, even though the Gemara attempted to use that din that Shmuel says as the explanation for our Mishnah, but then the Gemara refuted that, and the Gemara said that that isn't the explanation of our Mishnah, but still this rule has been quoted, and our Gemara now examines that rule. Gufa, Amma Shmuel, Hanoitel Kleem and Umin Lavakrei. If somebody takes a vessel, anything from a Umin, in order to inspect it, Venanis Biyodai, and then after he picks it up, it breaks, Chayiv. Because as soon as he picks it up, he becomes responsible. And as we spoke about in the previous year, a machloikus rishonim, how to view this individual's picking up this keli. Does the halacha consider him as a shayil, the din of a shayil, a borrower, or is he considered like a koina, like a lokeach, that he bought the keli? However, qualifies the Gemara, v'hani mili hu dekitzidami. This that only applies if the price is set. If there's a firm price to this item. So then when I pick it up, I know what it's going to cost me. And that's when the Gemara says, I become shoyl koin. It's interesting that the Rashbam says that we have the similar Gemara in Masechta Nedarim. And there the Gemara qualifies Shmuel's rule, not by saying v'hani mili hu dekitzei dame, but rather it's qualified by saying that it's a zvine charife. It has to be something that is popular, that people will buy. So there we could assume that when the person picked it up, he wants to keep it. So how do we reconcile that the Gemara gives two different conditions? So the Rashbam explains that with the Gemara, we need both conditions. In other words, in order for Shmuel's din to be applicable, you have to have that it's an item whose price is fixed, coupled with the fact that it's something that is popular. Ritva explains these two Gemaras differently. He says the way to understand these two Gemaras is that you have a choice. Either it's something that's popular, or it's something that has a fixed price. Either condition itself is adequate that it should be considered that you are now responsible for the item that you picked up. So when we look at the Gemara at first glance, it seems that the Gemara is teaching us a chumrah. I pick up an item to look at it. I become the owner of the item. I become responsible for the item. But as the Pais can point out, there's a different perspective. If I walk into a store and I pick up an item whose price is established, it's a popular item, and now somebody else walks into the store and he wants that item. So based on the Gemara that we're learning today, I, who picked up this item first, will be considered the first person to have it. And even if the owner of the store, for whatever reason, would like that the other individual who's interested in the item should get it, the halacha will be that I will be able to keep it. Obviously, I have to pay for it. But the Pesukim obviously point out that once I pick it up, if I come into a store and I pick up an item, and as I pick up the item, let's say Chas v'Shalom drop it and it breaks, based on our Gemara, specifically if it's an item that has a fixed price, I will be responsible. Whereas, if I walk into a store and I'm walking, and of course you have to be careful, but we're talking lahalocha, if I'm walking in the store and as I'm walking accidentally, I break something which I didn't pick up, I wouldn't necessarily be responsible. Furthermore, the Paiskim use this Gemara to discuss another Shaila. We know that in many stores, you buy an item, and there's a return policy. If you give it back within a week, within 30 days, you get your money back. And the question that the Paiskim ask is, how does the halacha view that? Certainly, it's not extremely relevant Shaila, Because certainly, if you buy in a store and that is the condition, that's the store policy, so when you bought it, that's the Tanai. And all of the Gemaras that we're learning, if there's a specific minig amakim, or there was a specific stipulation understood in purchasing the item, that is the rule. But how does the halacha look at something that doesn't have, regarding a store, let's say, that doesn't have a posted policy? So the price can say, based on this Gemara, that if you buy an item and you picked it up and you did a kinyan, you become the owner of the item, and you can't just give it back. The other side has to agree to take it back, and if they don't agree to take it back, you can't force them because you did a kinyan, and it's something that you become now responsible for. Says the Gemara, "Hu gav da al bei tafcha." There was somebody that entered into a butcher shop, agva atma the bisra, and he picked up a piece of meat. Hadi da ka agva, as he was holding this meat, asa pirsha mir miminei. A bird flew by and took the piece of meat away from him. Asa kamei rav yame, that came to Rav Yemer, and the question is, I who picked up the meat, am I responsible for it? And says the Gemara, Rav Yemer, chayv l'shlumei damei, that he who picked up the meat is responsible for it. However, again, qualifies the Gemara, v'hani mili hu d'kitzei damei, if the piece of meat had a firm price. Similar incident. Hu gavra, the Isaac Carola from Nahara. There was an individual who brought cucumbers to Pum Nahara. Asa kula alma, everybody came, and shakal karakara, started picking up cucumbers. And the individual who had delivered these cucumbers lost track of where all his cucumbers went. And he was very upset. He didn't bring the cucumbers that everybody should take him. He brought the cucumbers that they should be able to sell them. Amalu. So what he said was, Hareyim l'kudoshim l'shmayim. He turned them into Hegdish. By turning them into Hegdish, he knew that people are very careful not to eat something that's Hegdish. And by him now declaring that they were Hegdish, nobody's going to want to eat them, and they're going to return it to him. Asl kamed Rav Kahana. So they came to Rav Kahana. Amalei, en on the magdish davar shenein shaloi. His declaration of Hegdish on these cucumbers is an ineffective declaration. Because as soon as these people picked up these cucumbers, they became the owners of the cucumbers. But this is specifically said, who the kids of the mayu. If the value of the cucumbers is fixed, if they're not fixed, he still is the owner of those cucumbers. Because even though the people picked it up, as we have been learning, just picking it up, if it's an item that doesn't have a fixed price, then your picking it up doesn't make it yours. And therefore, the owner of the cucumber still has the ability, the shaper agdish, to be magdish them. The Mefarshim actually want to use this Gemara as a proof to the shayla that I mentioned earlier and discussed more at length in the previous year, that how does the halacha view this individual who picked up the item? That the Gemara in our shir again teaches us that if you pick up the item, provided that it has a fixed price, you become responsible. Does the halacha view you as the owner of the item, or does the halacha only view you as the shoyel? And the Paiskin want to say, from our Gemara that we just learned, is a raya that the person who picked it up becomes the full-fledged owner. Because if all he is just a shoyel, why would the halacha be that I, the real owner, can no longer be magdashit? If I lend you something, but I remain the owner, can I not be magdish the item? The fact that Al Gemara teaches us that I don't have the ability anymore to be magdish it, I, the original owner, do no longer have the ability to be magdish it, it seems to be a clear proof that the person who picked it up became the owner. It's a very good raya. The Mashal tries to defend the other opinion that says that the person who picked it up is only a shoyel. He says the Gemara the opinion that holds that the person who picked it up is only a shoyel may hold that if I own something, but I have absolutely no control over it, and I have no idea who has it, even though technically I am still the owner of this item, I no longer have the ability to be magdish it. And therefore, even though the people who picked it up are only shoyalim, they're not owners of the item, I still given that I don't know who has it, where it is, no longer have the ability to be magdish it. Says the Gemara, Tanabon, Halakeach Yarek Meshuk. Somebody goes to a fruit store, to a vegetable store, to buy vegetable. A beer of Vihiniach. And what happens is, as people who buy vegetables, who buy fruits, they pick up a vegetable, they pick up a fruit, but then they see a nicer one. So they put back the old one and they take a new one. Even if he's doing this all day long, like Kana, he doesn't become the owner of that vegetable, and he doesn't have a chiv meiser. As the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, our Gemara is referring that the person who you're buying vegetables from is Amaretz. And we know that how Chazal taught us that if you buy fruit, vegetables, produce from Amaretz, the halacha is you have to take off trumas and meisers because there's a suffix. It's called the mai. We have a shaila, maybe the owner did not take off trumas and meisers, and therefore you have the obligation called the mai to take off your own trumas and meisers. Here, since you never became the owner of these fruit and vegetables, your intention was just to pick it up and put it down as you decide. You don't have any obligation. However, goma beliba laknoisai, once you decided to pick it up, kana, now you become the owner of this item, v'nischai b'maisa. And now you chayiv to take off maisa, trumas and maisa because of the mai. But Taisus immediately qualifies what the Gemara means. Because Taisus says, we know there are various different trumas and maisas that have to be taken off. There's maisa rishin, maisa ani, there's maisa sheni, and there's truma. Says Taisus, the halacha is that by maisa rishin and maisa ani, maisa rishin going to the levi, maisa ani going to poor people, the halacha is that if I have fruit produce, which is the mai, I have to take off the maisa rishin and maisa ani, but I don't have to give it to the ani. I don't have to give it to the levi. Why? Because Hamaitzim Chaveroi, all of Araya, you the Ani, you the Levi, have to successfully prove that indeed Trumas and Maisris were not removed. So I take it off, and I can eat it, because a Yisrael is allowed to eat Maisrish and Maisr Ani. The Halacha, where it's relevant to what the Gemara is saying, it's only relevant in two places. It's relevant by Maisr Sheni, because there Halacha is, if you take off Maisr Sheni Misafik, you have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim, or by Truma, because Truma Yisrael may not eat. So there he has to give it to Kayim. So Taisus says when Al Gemara is considering the problem, it has to be, the problem exists by Maisa Sheni and by Truma. Now the problem is like this. Lachziroi, so again, let's focus on the story. I picked up this produce, decided to keep it, and then afterwards decided that no, I don't want it. But the moment I decided to keep it, this way most Mepharshim explain, even though the Rajbam doesn't explain it this way, the Ramban explains the Gemara this way. The moment I decided to keep it, I become the owner. Since I become the owner, that act of buying it makes it Mechuyev and Trumas and Maisris. So I have to take off the Trumas and Maisris, the Maisris Sheni, the Truma. The Rajbam takes a different approach. The Rajbam approach is that the Gemara says many times, Chazok al Chavar, a chaver has to be very careful to take off something that before he gives it back, before he lets leave his rishus, he has to take off trumas and maisers. So if the halacha views it that I now, this is my produce, before I give it back to the owner who's Amoritz, I have to take off trumas and maisers properly. So now what do I do? Lachziroi, to give it back as it is, as I just explained, eefshir. Shekvan ischai b'maiser. La'asroi, to take off maisers, you have shekvan mechis medamim. Let's say I picked up 10 apples. And I have to take off one apple for the mai. So I took 10, and I'm only going to give you back 9. What do we do? Hoketzed, how do we resolve this problem? Maisroi, I should take off the one apple, which will be the maiser, trum of the mai. And the noisroi, the mai maiser. So I'm going to take 10 apples. I give back the storekeeper 9, and I have to pay him for the 10th apple. Ask the Gemara, Otto, Mishum, the government believer, Litnus, Kana, Mishai, B'maiser. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. Just because I decided to buy it, but I didn't do any Kenyan, doesn't make it mine? Amrav Oisha, Hachabiyur, B'shmai, Miskin. Agamar is referring to Yerushalayim, Kigayim Safar, the Kaim of Nafshei, the Dive of Emes Bovavai, which means as follows. There's a famous incident with Rav Safra. Rav Safra was a merchant, and he sold different items. Somebody came over to him and said, I'd like to buy this item from you and pay you this amount. Rav Safra did not react because Rav Safra was saying Krishna. And we know that when you're saying Krishna, you're not supposed to respond. The person who offered Rav Safra the price assumed that the reason Rav Safra wasn't responding was because Rav Safra wasn't satisfied with the price that he was offering. So he kept on upping the price. I guess Rav Safra said Krishna for a very long time. So now Rav Safra finishes Krishna. So Rav Safra didn't say, okay, the last price you offered me is acceptable. Since in Rav Safra's mind, the first price that was offered was acceptable, he was a doiva emes bovavai, and that was fine. Either was no kinyan, gomma bovavai. He decided to accept that price, and that was for him enough, an act of ownership. So the Marsham has a beautiful explanation of this Gemara. And it's obvious pshat in the Gemara, but it really changes after we learned so many dafim about kinyanim, and not only now, but we've learned about kinyanim so many times, it changes the entire perspective of kinyanim. We've always learned, and that's pashut pshat, that what does a kinyan mean? That halachically, I do not become an owner of an item unless a kinyan is done. And as we learned, there are different types of kinyanim, by metaltlin, mashicha, mesira, agbah, by karka, kesef, shtar, chazaka, all the different types of kinyanim that we've always discussed. Says the Marsham, what is pshat in a kinyan? The Marsham says pshat of a kinyan is gemiristas. How do we know that you're truly serious about consummating this transaction? The kinyan shows us that. So who requires that act of kinyan to show gemiristas? Regular people. But a person who's like Rav Safra, who's a serious individual, he doesn't need a kinyan to make gemiristas. His word, his intention is good enough. And therefore says the Gemara that anyone who's in that category doesn't need a kinyan. Gemira stas is alone. Is enough. Says the Mishnah. Hasitain bekanach midos of achas l'shloshim yoyim. If somebody is a wholesaler and they're selling things and they're weighing them, he has to wipe his weights every 30 days. Or balabayis ech l'shnei masa chodesh. However, balabayis every 12 months is enough. What pshat in Tanakama? The Sitan who's using his weights all of the time has to wipe them because there's always residue forming on them. A balabayis who doesn't use them that often doesn't have to clean them that often. Rav Shimon Gamliel amar chilaf hadvarim, just the opposite. There's sitoin who's constantly using it, so there's never a chance for the residue to stick. You're always reusing it. The balabayis who doesn't use it that often, it's going to stick. Continues the Mishnah. Hen chanvani, a storekeeper, mekanef midoisov pamayim l'shabbos. That since he uses it so often, and Rashbam says, we're following the opinion of Tanakama, he who uses it even more often, there's more of a chance of residue forming on it, and therefore he should wipe it every twice a week. The way the Mefarshim explains like this, Mekaneach means to wipe, or Memacha means to wash. Wiping it, you have to do twice a week. Washing, which is more thorough, once a week is enough. Or mekanech maznayim, they used to have scale. The scale that the way it worked was the scale had a receptacle, and you kept in the scale whatever you were weighing. So like we learned in the previous year, there's certainly a possibility that in the bottom of that receptacle, residue will form. There halacha is akom mishkel mishkel. Every time it's used, you have to wipe it. Amar Shimon Gamliel. Where do we have to be concerned for residue remaining there? And therefore you have to wipe it. Belach. When you're weighing liquids. Abu Yavish. So there is less of a concern of residue collecting. And it's not necessary. Continues the Mishnah. Chayiv lachri lo tafach. Again, we're talking about a scale. When you're weighing on a scale, So the halacha is, as we'll learn in the Gemara in a moment, a little more bariches. There's always a concern if you're going to measure exact. You have to be concerned that you're going to end up cheating your customer. How could you be sure that you're being honest when you weigh what you're selling? You make sure that the scale tilts in the favor of the customer by a tefach. Hoy shaykla ayin ba'ayin. If the scale was exactly even, and the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Here you say you have to let it tilt. So how could it ever be that it's equal if you have to let it tilt? We'll discuss it in the Gemara in a moment. Noisnoi gerumim. You have to give him a little extra. What does it mean a little extra? Echla sar balach, vechla esem biyavish. We'll see in the Gemara, echla sar means 100th. Echla esem, the Gemara actually has a question how to explain. But before we go further, just to mention two shilas that I saw in the Paiskim. Here the Gemara says that when you're weighing something, when you, the storekeeper, are weighing something on behalf of the customer, you have to make sure that the scale tilt on behalf of the customer by a tefach. Says the Maram Shik. Question comes up often enough. Let's say I'm buying in a store. We anyway don't have these type of scales. But let's say you're buying in a store and you're the customer weighing for yourself. Self-service. And you weigh for yourself. Is the halacha of chayv lachmir l'tefach still applicable? Says the Maram Shik, absolutely not. He says the din of chayv lachmir l'tefach is responsibility on the storekeeper. That when he's weighing on behalf of the customer, he has to be machmir l'tefach. But if the customer is weighing for himself, then that din doesn't apply. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, this question is obviously very relevant. Let's say I'm a storekeeper. And I came to the shir, and I know the halacha, that I have to give you a little extra. But I, as a storekeeper, sell prepackaged goods. I sell sugar, I sell flour, that are packed by the manufacturer in 5-pound bags. Now those manufacturers pack exactly 5 pounds. They have no responsibility to pack more. They're not Jewish even. What is the din? Certainly, say the Paiskim, there's no problem. It's only in a time when I'm weighing, teaches us the Mishnah, we'll learn in the Gemara in a minute more, that I have to give you a little extra. But if I'm not weighing, if I'm selling you a prepackaged item, obviously that this thing doesn't apply. Continues the Mishnah. In a place that the minig is that they sell in small measures, you shouldn't sell in large measures, Begasa, or vice versa, lo yomi bedaka, limchoik, lo yiddosh, lugdosh, lo yimchoik. In certain places, they give heaping piles when they sell you a pile of an item. In other places, they sell it, smooth it out, straight on top, leveled, and you have to follow the minhag hamakom. And the Gemara, Mitzvah Shema, tomorrow, she will explain this thing. Ask the Gemara, Menonimili. So the Gemara in the Havamin assumes that the question that's being asked as Menon Emili, how do we know that Allah is the Chayev Lachri Loi Tefach? Amr Shlokish Amr Kro, Evin Shleim V'Tzedek, means Tzedek Mishalcha V'Tein Loi. Give extra from yourself. Give this extra Tefach. Ask the Gemara, if we're learning now, that the obligation to Memechriya Tefach is a Chiyuv Deraisa. So as we learned, the Yochi Emes Seifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you measure it exactly equally, noisnoi gerumim. You have to give him this extra. Ask the Gemara, v'achra deraisa. If there's a chiv deraisa to give this extra tefach, to tilt it, to tilt the scales with an extra tefach, heichi yov la'ayim v'ayin. How does it ever come out the next thing? You're not allowed to do that. And if you measure that way, where there's a chiv deraisa to tilt, you should have to remeasure. Alarasius says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Memakum shenagu. There is no chiv deraisa to be machriya. However, the Mishnah teaches us that in certain places, there was a custom to do so. The chiyat med Rish Lakish, asay itma. And Rish Lakish's din, that he says that the Torah obligates us to do it, is not regarding the din of achra, rather it's regarding the din of gerumim. And this is what the Mishnah says. There are places that you have to be machriya. But let's say you live in a place where they don't have that minik, Or let's say, if even if you live in a place that has that minig, but you didn't follow the minig, but it's not so serious. It's only a minig. It's not a deraisa. And therefore, what you did was, you measured exactly equally. Not halach is that you have to still give a little more. Nice like rumor. Why? Mononymily, where do we know that there's an obligation on somebody selling an item to give this little extra? On Rish Lakish, on that Rish Lakish says, because the Pasuk says, V'tzadeik, tzadeik mishalcha v'tainlai. So the Gemara, the Mishnah said, and now Gemara explains, what is the Gerumen? Amar Rav Abba Bar Mamal, Amar Rav Acha, Echem Esar B'litra B'lach L'Sar L'Litra. As Rishon explained the Gemara, it's difficult to understand the Mishnah as the words of the Mishnah imply. Mishnah says, Echen Me'asara. Echen Me'asara is 10%. It's inconceivable to the Gemara that every time I sell you something, I have to give you 10% more. So the Gemara says, that's not the Mishnah means. What the Gemara means is one-tenth of one-tenth. One-tenth of one-tenth is a hundredth, not a 10%, much less. Now, the Mishnah used that number by Lach. When you were selling liquids. The Mishnah said when you were selling Yavish, it's Echadl Esrim B'Yavish. And again, this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Now ask the Gemara. Once we've reinterpreted the words of Echadl Asar B'Lach, we obviously have to also reinterpret the words of Echadl Esrim B'Yavish. It doesn't mean 1/20. It means a lot less. But how much less does it mean? Ibayluhu. And that's the Gemara's question. Heichikomer, how do we understand the Mishnah? Echad basar balach, lasar delach. By liquids, it's a hundredth that you have to add. Ve'echad me'esrim b'yavish, lesser b'yavish. 1/20 of 1/20, which equals to 1/400. That's all you have to add by dry items that are being sold. Oidem echad me'asar lasar delach, lesser b'yavish, which means 1/200, which is more. And the Gemara remains with a shayla, is it 1/200th or 1/400th that you have to leave over by Yavish? Teiku. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Levi, Kosha Anchin Shal Midas, Nyoysum Anchin Shal Arayis. The Aveira of being dishonest in measuring and weighing things is even more serious than the Aveira of Arayis. Shizen Nam Behen Eil, by the Aveira of Arayis, the Torah uses the word Eil, and here the Torah uses the word Eila. Ask the Gemara, my mashm dahai Eil kashahu. Where do we take that the word Eil means something tough? The ksiv is Eile Aretz Lokach. The pasuk is a pasuk in Yecheskel. It refers to a situation where they took Tzidkiyo, the Romans, took Tzidkiyo from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel into Galus, and they wanted to make sure that he wouldn't rebel, so they sent along with him all of the ministers. And what are the ministers called? Eilei Ha'oretz. So you see, it means strong, powerful people. Ask the Gemara, Gaba Rayis Nami Haksiv Eila. Doesn't the Torah use the word Eila by Rayis? Says the Gemara, Hahu Lafuke Midas Mikaris. To tell us that even though a Rayis have a Chiv Karis, Midas, if you're dishonest in your measure, you don't have a Chiv Karis. Ask the Gemara, so what makes them? If we're saying that there's a chiv karis by Erva, and there is no chiv karis by midas, so right fayu makes midas more. And the more hasam efshe b'tshuva by Erva, you could do tshuva on yavera hachla efshe b'tshuva. So there's a lot to say, obviously, in this Gemara. Let's try to analyze the Gemara. The first question is that the morale discusses. The first question that we're going to discuss is the morale asks. That our Gemara begins by comparing the Aveira of Erva to the Aveira of being dishonest. So says the Maral, where do these two subjects come together that our Gemara sort of puts them together? Says the Maral, what does the Aveira of Erva represent? The Aveira of Erva represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a certain Seder. He set up the world in a certain way. A brother's not going to marry a sister. A father's not allowed to marry a daughter. The world has been established to go in a certain way. If somebody, chas v'sholem, has that kind of a relationship, he's changed the proper order of the world. The same thing is by weights and measures. You're supposed to be honest. A pound is a pound. a yard is a yard. Changing that is changing the Seder Olam. That is the connection between these two Averis. Furthermore, as the Hafla, says the Gemara says that Midos is a bigger Avera than Erva. But the Gemara, the same sentence, says that by Erva there's a Chiv Karas, and by Mida there is no Chiv Karas. As the Hafla, don't we always say that the oinish of an Avera, the punishment that the Torah gives us for an Avera, is an indication of the seriousness of the Avera? So shouldn't the fact that if somebody Chas V'Shalom does the Avera of Arayis, there's a Chiv Karas, be a proof that this is a more serious Avera? Answers the Hafla. We look at Karas, we look at the different things that the Torah says as a punishment. They're not really punishments. They're kapara. They're a way to have a kapara. And what the Torah is teaching us is that by erva, you have a way of getting kapara, maybe a difficult way. Karas. Here you have no way of doing karas. Furthermore, the Mashah says, how does the Gemara prove that Midos is a more serious Avera than erva? Because here by Midos the Torah uses the word Eila, and here the Torah uses the word Eil. The extra hay. Says the Mashah, beautiful pshat. He says, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos describes the origin of all of the letters. And the letter hay, says the Gemara, why the letter hay has two openings. Why does it have two openings? The letter hay represents that it's very easy for a person to fall and do an Avera. But there's another opening that you could always do tshuva. Ask the Gemara, so why do you have to have another opening? Why don't you have the same opening through which you fell out to come back in? Because it represents that it's difficult to do tshuva. Says the Mashah, since the Torah used the word Eila by Midos, which that letter, hey, is the letter that teaches us the difficulty of doing tshuva, because you have to have a different entrance for tshuva. That's why does it use that extra hey by Midos? Because Midos, as the Gemara says, is a very hard avera to do tshuva on. Why is it so hard to do tshuva? Because if you have a store and you had dishonest weights, you don't remember every customer you had. You don't remember, and maybe some of the customers you had moved away. Some of the customers you had, even if you remember them, passed away. So it's very hard to do tshuva. As Tosfos, and by erva, it's so easy to do tshuva. By erva, let's say you had a mamzer. The mamzer, as they say, is gebayrin. He's already here. So how can you do tshuva? So Tosfos, because of that kasha, says Al Gemara, when it says that erva is easy to do tshuva to meet this, is not talking about a case where there was a mamzer born. If there's a mamzer born, you got a problem by erva too. Other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, and as Rabbi Chanan explains, Rabbi Chanan says that the avera of erva, even if chas v'shalom a mamzer was born, is an avera ben adam l'makom, and an avera ben adam l'makom, you do tshuva, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a forgiving father. And he's Michael. However, the erva of ben adam l'chaveroi, it's not enough to do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to do tshuva to the person that you mistreated, that you stole from. And sometimes that's impossible. And as they say, even though the Gemara says, we learned it, I think it's Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, that let's say you indeed stole from somebody and you don't recall who you stole from. The Gemara says, Yasvai Tzarchi Rabim. Do build and use the money to do something for the community. But that isn't a real tshuva. Because tshuva means that the person who you did wrong to, you did right with. Here, yes, I build a mikveh, I build a shul for everybody to benefit from. But that doesn't really give back the person who I stole from his money. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rabbi Levi, koshel gezel hedyid, yoytzim gezel gevoya. If you steal from an individual, it's very much in line with what we just learned, it's worse than stealing hegdish. If you look in the pasuk, that speaks about stealing from another individual, it says a nefesh kisechta umala mal b'ashem v'kichesh b'meisai. As soon as the pasuk describes somebody doing this, he's right away called a chayte. By Hegdish, the Torah uses the words, kisima mal v'chota b'shkoga. You're not right away a chayta. Shezeh hegdim chayt l'mila, when you steal from another individual, v'zeh hegdim mila l'chayt, when you steal from Hashem. So there's a beautiful marshal from the Dubna Magid to explain why is it worse if you steal from another person than you steal from Hashem. He says, there was once a child of a father who was acting inappropriately. He stole from the father on a regular basis. The father wasn't upset. The father was upset, I'm sorry, but he didn't really take serious action. Then one time, this child stole from another person. The father got very upset and took very serious steps. So the child asked the father, you know Nebuchadnezzar. So why are you so upset all of a sudden now when I stole from someone else, and all this time that I've been stealing from you, you haven't gotten so upset? So the father said, I'm responsible to take care of you anyway. I'm your father. So, of course, the right way is you're not supposed to steal from me. I'm supposed to give you what you need. You're supposed to ask me and I'll give you what you need. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. The next person isn't obligated to support you. And if you take from him, that's really inappropriate. The same, if we take from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us everything anyway. So we take from him, we're taking, it's of course not the right way, I'm not condoning it, the Gemara is not condoning it, but it's not as serious as the Dubna Magid in explaining Gemara, if we take from somebody else who has no responsibility to us. Continues the Gemara. Vam Rabbi Levi, Bar Eish Loi Kamin Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mid Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Birech Yisrael, if we look in Mishnah Torah, and Parshas B'chukosai, the Torah, the Torah gives us a bracha, and the bracha is stated, Vaser Mishtayim. It begins with the whole alabase. The Kilalam, the letters that are used to give us a klala, the Taychacha, is B'shmoina. Brachim B'eser Mishtayim, the brachas begin, Mim B'chukosai, so it begins with the letter Aleph, at Kamamis, until the word Tav, and until the letter Tav. And as Mepharshim explained, it's impossible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wants to give us bracha, to articulate all of the brachas we're going to give. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? I'm using all of the alabes to give you bracha. And any type of combination of words that could come from the alabes, a bracha, you will receive. However, the kilalam, if we look in the klala, is the shmoina. The pasuk begins, v'im b'chukosu tamasu, so we go from Vav to Mem, which is 8 letters. Much more limited. Vila Moshe Rabbeinu, when we look in Parshas Kisavai, Bracham, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives them the bracha is given with 8 letters only, the Kilalam, Be'esem Shtayim. Bracham B'Shmoina, the bracha that he gives them with 8 letters, starts from Mahayim Shmoya, the letter Vav, at again, from Vav to Mem, which is 8 letters. The Kilalam, when he gives them the bracha, Besim v'shtayim, there represents from Hoyim l'Sishma, Ad v'en Koina, from Vav to Hey, which is a full cycle of the whole alabase. But even though I point out to Mepharshim that it represents a full cycle of the alabase, it isn't the alabase from Aleph to Tov. It's sort of done in a not regular way. But even Moshe Rabbeinu, who's giving them such a tough klala, says, it doesn't come, I'm going to try to make it a little easier, it isn't straight, Aleph to tough. I saw the Mepharshim explain why indeed the Moshe Rabbeinu give him a tougher klala than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu also loved us. So Mepharshim explained that Parshas B'chukosai is said B'loshin Yochid. It speaks about every individual who acts properly, or Chas V'Shalom acts improperly. So if there's one individual who acts improperly, he deserves, unfortunately, to get punished. But he doesn't deserve to get punished in that serious way. Parashas Kisavai represents Chas V'Shalom, when the entire Tzibur does an Aveira, that's much more serious, and that's why the Klal is more serious. But of course, we should be Zaycha to the Bracha.